The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled Reflections 2020, Black People Will Save Democracy. Leading scholars, authors, and movement builders share their thoughts on the year that was and assesses where we go from here. Latasha Brown, Pressure, Protest, Power. If there is one lesson to take away from 2020, it is that our democracy is fragile. This year has taught us much about this fact and exposed who we really are as a country. We can no longer hide behind the false promises of an American democracy that has never been fully achieved. We can no longer trick ourselves into believing that American exceptionalism is real because we have failed in every area where our most vulnerable citizens need us most. Politically, 2020 can be viewed through three lenses: pressure, protest, and power. Pressure. Democracy is failing us because the Constitution hasn't protected the people. We need stronger protections to ensure that we truly have a democracy. Instead, what we are seeing is a president who is abusing his power without consequence and using the justice system for personal gain, while the Supreme Court is over-politicized. As a powerful and committed voting bloc, many Black women advocated hard for Senator Kamala Harris, and this year we made history when she became the first Black woman on a major party ticket for Vice President of the United States. We showed up and demanded change, ensuring that our voice was heard and that we had a seat at the decision-making table. Protest. In May, Minneapolis police officers killed George Floyd as onlookers screamed for Derek Chauvin to remove his knee from the man's neck. The four officers involved assumed they would be protected, even though they were filmed stealing away this unarmed man's breath. But outraged citizens poured into the streets, and the officers were soon arrested. Similarly, three white men in Glynn County, Georgia, who pursued and fatally shot 25-year-old Ahmaud Arbery while he was jogging, were arrested and charged only because of the efforts and calls to action of grassroots organizations and protest. But in Louisville, Kentucky, after police broke into Breonna Taylor's home while she was resting in her bed and shot her six times, ending her life, a grand jury failed to indict any of the officers. The fight for justice for Breonna Taylor continues. These examples and countless others prove that the justice system in the U.S. is far from just. We must raise our voices loudly to insist that it be replaced. Power. In addition to racial injustice, political upheaval, and health and safety concerns due to ongoing COVID-19 pandemic, our communities are facing wide-scale and blatant voter suppression. More than 33 million people have been dropped from the voter rolls since 2014. Voter suppression tactics are meant to disenfranchise our community and decrease the power of the Black vote. But we are not deterred. We are ready to use our power at the polls. and we will. We know that pressure, protest, and people power can be effective tools for change. Now we need to turn the pain of 2020 into new promises and possibilities. Regardless of who the next president is, we must continue to demand that every system in the U.S. be radically reimagined, replaced, and improved. If America is ever to live up to its ideals, we must have the courage to build a new nation, one where all citizens are accorded their full rights and are able to realize their full potential. Until then, the revolution will be live and in color. The next section is called The Impact of State Violence on Black Women Takes Center Stage. Black women's lives are precarious. We have long been more likely to be killed by police than our white peers are. And for generations, we have also been more likely than white women to be killed by a partner, to be arrested, and to die while giving birth. Yet our stories seldom serve as rallying cries for racial justice. In this year of upheaval, when the killing of Breonna Taylor has driven the truth of black women's precarity into the national consciousness, I have often considered this heartbreaking question. Would we be mobilized in the same way if Breonna had lost her life outside of this unrelenting season of black death? If she had been a singular case of a botched home raid rather than part of a trio that includes Ahmaud Arbery and George Floyd? Until we can confidently answer that question in the affirmative, until we can say that black women's need for safety compels political action and community mobilization in the same way as men's, then the realities of our oppression will remain an afterthought in the burgeoning awareness around anti-black racism. There are two stories that might be told about 2020. It could quite possibly be a blip in our understanding of anti-black violence. It could be that Breonna's name is one of the few we know when we talk about police violence against black women, or it could enlighten us to the fact that black women's susceptibility to state violence requires a reassessment of the narratives of vulnerability and prompts a recognition of all of the ways that black women and girls have suffered violence silently. It could be a year when we vow that young sisters like Oluwa Toyin, quote-unquote Toyin Salu, will no longer die by the hands of men we trust, whose lives we protect through protest, even while we bury the fact of our own exposure to violence from all directions. Black women have been key to the production of this nation's massive wealth since arriving on American shores in chains over 400 centuries ago. The industrialized rape of our foremothers is the ugly and uniquely gendered underbelly of white supremacy. But justice for us has never been central in the resistance to it. That legacy must be roundly repudiated, and it can be once we start telling stories of anti-black racism are too seldom heard. Kimberly Crenshaw is the co-founder and executive director of the African American Policy Forum, the host of the podcast Intersectionality Matters, the moderator of the webinar series Under the Black Light, and a professor of law at University of California, Los Angeles, and Columbia Law School. The next article is titled, in this section, The Revolution Could Not Be Extinguished, by Ashley Woodard Henderson. By September 15th, at least 39,000 718 Black Americans had died from COVID-19, the highest mortality rate of all racial categories. And 3.3 million Black Americans were unemployed in May. A month later, the unemployment rate gap between Black and white Americans was the widest it had been in 5 years. Cops in the United States killed 164 Black people in the first 8 months of 2020. And white supremacist and paramilitary violence were on the rise, nationally and globally, overtly supported by the right wing in mainstream politics. But that's not how the story ends. We became what may be the largest social movement in U.S. history. We are defunding the police. We announced federal legislation with the BREATHE Act, a bill that divests our taxpayer dollars from the brutal and discriminatory practices of the criminal legal system and invests in our liberty and public safety. We launched the Frontline to make a new America possible, one in which we can all be free from the fear of white supremacist violence being waged on our communities from seats of elected power. We held the first Black National Convention since 1972, reaching 250,000 of our people the night of the convention, and 500,000 since. We trained more than 200 fellows in 15 different states and 20 cities. Through our Freedom Summer Fellowship and Electoral Justice Projects, Electoral Justice League, we went on strike for Black lives, fighting for clear, intersectional demands of Black voters, of Black workers, and leading to the creation of Labor for Black Lives. We have seen the growth of a nationwide, Black-led, multiracial movement, with people showing up and showing out for justice via the rising majority. The story of 2020 is that when multiple intersecting crises converge to break us, Black people rose and demanded that this country live up to its ideals of liberty and justice for all. We show the world that Black lives matter. We committed ourselves to seeing that vision of beloved community come to fruition, and we will win. Ashley Woodard Henderson is the first Black woman executive director of the Highlander Research and Education Center, a social justice leadership training school and cultural center founded in 1932. The next article is titled, For Black Boys When Losing Heroes Becomes Too Much, by Kesey Lehman. When Bernie Mac died, I wrote, not so deep down, we all know that safety is an illusion, that only character melds us together. That's why most of us do everything we can, healthy and unhealthy, to ward off that feeling of standing alone, so close to the edge of the world. In 2020, we have lost so many heroes to complications of COVID-19, while also losing four distinct Black men who made sure we knew and know that we are never alone in our fear, though the edge of the world seems higher and falling feels more inevitable than ever. Congressman John Lewis lived a life of direct action, modeling how formative grassroots organizing can be in the making of an American politician and global political force. He died as he lived, fighting reactionary right-wing policy with political symbolism and vigor. Chadwick Boseman assessed the world representative Lewis navigated and dedicated his life to activating narratives and characters we'd yet to imagine. The actor and producer reminded us that while the personal is political, the personal and the political often rely on imaginative precision driven by a love of expansive notions of blackness. Kobe Bryant played with perfection in the worlds created and cultivated by men such as Lewis and Bozeman. His complicated legacy is defined by his base desire simply to be the greatest worker ever at his job. Bryant's job also happened to be an art, a game that let him understand that when you're too close to the edge, you can jump and really soar to the other side. George Floyd watched Bryant soar, saw Bozeman perform, and felt Lewis's political transformation. Though he was castigated by conservative media, his is a life familiar to Black Americans. He was trying to change that life to get home on the day he was killed in front of the world. In mustering the strength to call for his mama while dying, he beckoned us back from the edge of the world and walked us into spiritual world of elders gone too soon. All four of these men tried, failed, and got up until the day they could not. They defined heroism and redefined radical responsibility for generations to come. T.C. Lehman is a Black Southern writer from Jackson, Mississippi. Lehman's best-selling memoir, Heavy, an American Memoir, won the 2019 Andrew Carnegie Medal for Excellence in Nonfiction, the 2018 Christopher Isherwood Prize for Autobiographical Prose, and the Austin Riggs Erickson Prize for Excellence in Mental Health Media. It was named one of the 50 best memoirs of the past 50 years by the New York Times. The next article in this section is titled COVID-19 Expose the Depth of Institutionalized Racism by Joia Adelie Creer Perry. The COVID-19 pandemic has fully exposed how the belief in a hierarchy of human value based upon skin color causes Black and brown bodies to be utilized for essential work while not ensuring their safety and protection. This is a continuation of a long-held value in the United States and other colonized nations that sacrificing lives for the sake of the economy is not only inevitable but necessary for the country to thrive. The Darwinian survival of the fittest evolutionary theory was clear in defining the fittest as white, male, and landowners. COVID-19 once again revealing how racism has dictated that Black bodies are to be devalued in service to whiteness. And this racial capitalism must end. In many cases, we see that people who are delivering our packages, shopping for our groceries, cleaning our hospital beds, and cooking our meals are doing so without access to proper supplies and health coverage themselves, being given the title of essential worker without substantive investment from our nation's economy is a core component of the Black American experience. If we are to survive as a country, we must create policies and cultural shifts that hold individuals and systems accountable to end racism and undo its historic and current impacts. Only then can we begin to live up to our nation's professed ideals. Joia Adelie Creer Perry, MD, FACOG, is the founder and president of the National Birth Equity Collaborative. She is a proud recipient of the Congressional Black Caucus Healthcare Heroes Award and the Maternal Health Task Force at Harvard University Global Visionary Award for commitment to advancing women's health. The next article is titled, Spotify Announces Multi-Year Podcast Partnership Deal with Meghan Markle and Prince Henry. Meghan Markle, our favorite Black Duchess, will soon be getting a podcast on Spotify. Oh, and her husband, Prince Harry, will be joining her too. Spotify announced that it has signed a multi-year deal with Archwell Audio, a new production founded by Duke of Sussex, Prince Harry, and Meghan Markle, the Duchess of Sussex. What we love about podcasting is that it reminds all of us to take a moment and to really listen, to connect to one another without distraction. With the challenges of 2020, there has never been a more important time to do so. Because when we hear each other and hear each other's stories, we are reminded of how interconnected we all are, said the Duke and Duchess of Sussex in a joint statement. Dawn Ostroff, Spotify's Chief Content and Advertising Business Officer, welcomed the partnership. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex may live in California, but the power of their voices rests in their status as citizens of the world, that they are embracing the extraordinary capacity of podcasts on Spotify while also seeking to elevate underrepresented voices in a testament to their appreciation for the potential of audio storytelling, says Ostroff. We are proud to partner with the Duke and Duchess and look forward to listeners hearing directly from them and the other creators that they will be elevating via our global platform. This isn't the first time that Spotify has inked a deal with royalty. Last year, former President Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama launched their own collaboration with Spotify and have since rolled out, quote-unquote, the Michelle Obama podcast. The first full podcast series is expected to arrive in 2021 and, like all Spotify podcasts, will be free for subscribers. Before then, however, Archwell and Spotify-owned Gimlet will release a holiday special co-hosted by the Duke and Duchess. The next article is titled, Dwayne Wade Responds to Gabrielle Union's Mom Shamers. It has only been a month since Kyvia James Union Wade, Dwayne Wade, and Gabrielle Union's newborn daughter made her world debut. And in that short time, many people already had a lot to say about the couple's big news. The new parents have been quite vocal about their difficult journey to become parents, and after years of failed attempts, they finally welcomed their baby girl. Union, 46, and Wade, 36, have tried every method to expand their family, from natural conception to IVF. However, nothing was successful until now, when they welcome a child via surrogate. As Union shared in her New York Times best-selling memoir, We Are Going to Need More Wine, Union felt trapped in her own body during her years of attempting to get pregnant, all which resulted in a total of 9 miscarriages. For 3 years, my body has been a prisoner of trying to get pregnant. I've either been about to go into an IVF cycle, in the middle of an IVF cycle, or coming out of an IVF cycle, Union shared. The couple decided the best and healthiest decision was to seek out a surrogate. Shortly after Kavya was born, the couple was photographed holding her and wearing a hospital gown. Gabrielle shared these photos on Instagram, and in the comment section, many women publicly criticized her for wearing a hospital gown, even though she didn't give birth. Union was wearing a hospital gown because she wanted to bond with their new baby skin-to-skin contact, which is a very common method of connecting with newborns. Wade recently defended his wife's decision during their joint interview with Oprah. "We had our baby and everybody started talking about, why is she in the bed holding the baby? Why she got a gown on? Why is she acting like she just had a baby?" Dwayne expressed. He continued, "Once again, people are uneducated on the process and why we decided to go skin to skin as soon as our baby came out. No matter what the critics may say, Gabrielle and Dwayne couldn't be happier with their newest addition to their family, and the love they have for her is more than evident." The next article is titled, "Cicely Tyson for Her 96th Birthday." To call Cicely Tyson an icon is an understatement. For nearly 70 years, she has given us grace and supreme class on screen and is always inspiring us to love harder and think more deeply. On Saturday, December 19th, Tyson celebrated her 96th birthday, and a number of our favorite celebrities sang her praises. Viola Davis, star of Netflix's Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, was among the stars to wish Tyson well on her special day. "There are certain people that come into this world, and their life force creates a powerful, inspiring explosion. We get the overflow," Davis wrote on Twitter. "I thank God for creating this beautiful, courageous, and bold being 96 years ago." Davis and Tyson co-starred together in the 2011 movie, The Help. Tyson also guest starred in the second season of How to Get Away with Murder. Frequent collaborator Tyler Perry shared a touching post for Tyson as well. He said, "96 and still as sharp and as beautiful as ever. What a blessing to have you as a friend, as family, and as a role model. The wisdom and love you have shown me over all these years have been a gift from God. Happy birthday, Queen." The two have worked together on films such as Diary of a Mad Black Woman, Madea's Family Reunion, Why Did I Get Married 2, Alex Cross, and A Fall from Grace. Perry also named one of his 12 sound stages at his Atlanta studio after the actress. Musician and author Lenny Kravitz, who is Tyson's godson, also wrote a sweet public note to Tyson. "All I can do is thank God that we have been on this planet at the same time, and I have been so blessed to receive your love," he said. "The best is yet to come. I love you." Tyson is preparing for the release of her written memoir, Just As I Am. It is due out January 2021. We have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avery Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.